بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have with us today, inshallah, hadith number 33 from عمدة الأحكام. And this hadith was narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, that Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, said, O Prophet of Allah, can anyone of us sleep while he is junub? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, yes, if he performs ablution, he may sleep. This hadith we referred to a while ago, and we said that this is part of the etiquette for a person who is in the state of janabah. And the Prophet was asked by Umar if it's okay or not to sleep while in the states of janabah, and the Prophet said, yes, if he performs wudu, if he performs ablution. However, there are other hadiths that stated that the Prophet ﷺ himself sometimes may have gone to bed while in the state of janabah without performing wudu, which made the companions and the scholars differ whether it is mandatory or voluntary. Of course, it goes without saying that it is a higher level and it is far better for your reward and it is best for you to be on the safe side. So if a person goes to bed after performing wudu, would anybody blame him? On the contrary, everybody would say, you've done a good job. But if a person goes to sleep while in the state of janabah and did not perform wudu, would anybody blame him? Yes, some of the scholars would say, you did something wrong, you should have performed ablution. So the best thing for a person who is in the state of janabah to perform wudu before going to sleep. And does it help? Well, we don't know if it helps or not. We know that it is the sunnah. Of course, I will not be able to pray, I will not be able to recite the Quran, but still, it is a condition which allows, most likely, the angels to come and protect me while I'm asleep. If I break the state of janabah with performing ablution. And nevertheless, this is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi as-salatu wasalam. Hadith, Salama, may Allah be pleased with her. Hadith number 34, who would give us the honor to read it?
Narrated Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, the mother of the believers. Sulaim, the wife of Abu Talha, came to Allah's apostle and said, O Allah's apostle, verily Allah is not shy of the truth. Is it necessary for a woman to take a bath after she has a wet dream, nocturnal sexual discharge? Allah's apostle replied, yes, if she notices a discharge.
Okay, this hadith was narrated by Salama. Who is Salama? The wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Her husband was Abu Salama, and he was the brother of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in suckling. So he was breastfed with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from the same mother. And he had another or a third brother of suckling, and he was his uncle, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. So these three were brothers in suckling, Abu Salama, Hamza, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And when he died, the Prophet proposed to her, she refused. In the beginning saying that, O Prophet of Allah, I'm an old woman and I have a lot of children and I am extremely jealous. The Prophet sent to her and said, as for your age, I'm older than you. So I'm old as well. As for your children, they are my children. And as for your jealousy, I will pray to Allah that Allah will take it away. And so this is exactly what happened. And Salama was the least of the Prophet's wives to be jealous. And that is why the Prophet's wives were into two teams. The team of Aisha and Hafsa and the other wives, and the team of Zainab bin Jahsh and the other wives of the Prophet. Two teams, rival teams. They collaborate and cooperate against the Prophet alayhi salam. No, they all love the Prophet, but they take sides. And whenever they have dispute, they send Salama to convey their message to the Prophet. Why? Because she did not take part. She did not take sides. She was not jealous. She loved the Prophet ﷺ, but her jealousy was taken away by the Prophet's dua. Salama is telling us that Sulaim came to the Prophet. You remember, of course, who Sulaim is. Who is Sulaim? The mother of Anas and the wife of Abu Talha al-Ansari. So she came to the Prophet and she made a beautiful introduction. She said, Prophet of Allah, Allah is not shy of the truth. Meaning that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there is truth, it is not something to be ashamed of. We have to say it. And this introduction was because she was about to say something that women are usually shy to say and declare. Like in the case of Ali, when he was suffering and being one of those who were having this discharge, prosthetic fluid discharge continuously, he was shy to go and ask the Prophet ﷺ, so he sent someone else. Sulaim came up front and said, Allah is not shy of the truth. Therefore, if a woman has a wet dream, nocturnal emission, does she have to take a bath like men? And the Prophet said, yes, if she sees the water. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if she sees the water, what is that water the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, is referring to? It is the discharge, the semen. So now the Prophet is making it clear, alayhi salatu wasalam, that no ghusl is mandatory until you have this semen discharge. And this brings us to another issue, and that is, if a person sleeps and dreams that he's having intercourse and that he's ejaculated in his dream, once he wakes up, he does not find anything, no traces in his underwear. Is it mandatory for him to perform ghusl or not? Those who say yes, raise your hands, please. Only one. Those who say no, raise your hands, please. The majority of the scholars say you don't have to, and this is the authentic opinion. Why? What did the Prophet answer, Sulaim? He said, yes, she must have a ghusl if, what? If she sees or detects the discharge. And that is why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam related ghusl to seeing the discharge or to ejaculation. Now let us reverse this dream. A man goes to bed. He wakes up not remembering seeing any dream. But when he investigates, he finds traces of semen on his underwear. Is he obliged to make ghusl or not? Yeah. Why? Because he found the discharge. But he did not see a dream. So how can this be? Well, this is what the scholars looked and collected all the evidences regarding this matter. And there are a number of evidences that cover it. We will come to some of them after, inshallah, the third hadith. So this first hadith tells us, if you see the discharge, you have to offer ghusl. We will elaborate more when we come to the hadith so that we would not distract you even further. The following hadith, hadith 35, who will read it for us, please?
Narrated Aisha, I used to wash the traces of semen from the clothes of the Prophet and he used to go out for prayer while traces of water were still on it.
That water spots were still visible. And in another narration, I simply
rubbed it off and he offered prayer while wearing that garment.
This hadith, the scholars usually refer to it in order when they discuss on the purity of semen. Is semen pure or is it impure, najis? Is it tahir or najis? Those who think it is impure they use the same hadith. And those who say that it is pure, they use the same hadith. How is that? Those who say it's impure, they say that had it not been impure, Aisha would not have washed it. So washing it indicates that it is impure, it is najis. Those who say, no, it is pure, and the evidence is that in this hadith and in other narrations, she says, if it is wet, I used to wash it. And if it was dry, I used to rub it off with my fingernail. So rubbing the impurity off with a fingernail, does it purify it? No. An impurity, if we have feces on the body or on the clothes and I rub it off, does this suffice or I have to wash it? I must wash it. So rubbing the semen off the clothes of the Prophet ﷺ and he going to pray with it means that it is pure and tahir. And this is the most authentic opinion. Because it is the origin of man. And the origin of man cannot be rendered as najis. It has to be pure. And also, washing it does not mean it's najis. Because we sometimes, if you have something that is dirty, things coming from your nose, you wash them, not because they're najis, but because it is not clean, it is dirty, it is not appealing, and likewise with the semen. We have a break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.